What is the Cape Drive time? It is 072-238-0712 is the WhatsApp line. Feel free to query, comment, stroke and or criticize. Social protection experts have called on the South African government to make the COVID-19 emergency relief permanent from October. This was the message from a webinar hosted by the Centre of Excellence for Food Security. Online is SA-UK Bilateral Research Care in Social Protection for Food Security. Whew, that's a long title. Stephen Devereaux. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Yes, it is a long title, isn't it?
Yeah, I hope they don't put all of that on your door, because is your door...
I have a big door.
All right, good enough for that. Let's have a look at the situation here. The webinar calling for government permanent emergency relief to be more enduring. And what immediately comes to mind, just as an example, is the state of our small businesses who were given something of a four-month tax rollover. Not many of them have been doing a lot of business, UIF rollouts, and various social grants. So what was the hub of what came out of this particular webinar?
Well, look, I think the first thing to say is that we have to recognize the government made a big effort to respond to the crisis that was created by the lockdown. You know, it wasn't the disease or the pandemic itself. It was really the response that made people sit at home and they weren't able to work. And it affected businesses, it affected employment, it affected informal workers who couldn't, trade on the streets or car guards or whatever. A lot of people just lost all that income. And so the government responded with this 500 billion rand package, which was meant to provide support to people that were affected in various ways. There was a top-up to the social grants, there were the food parcels, there was a temporary employee relief scheme, the TERS, there were those tax breaks that you mentioned to small businesses. And all of these measures and the social relief of distress special grant, all of these things were introduced to try and protect people through this period of the lockdown, which is now coming towards an end. But now after a few months, 4 or 5 months of these programs, we're realizing that, number one, they didn't work as well as they should have done. There were a lot of problems that we're aware of. And number two, what's going to happen next? You know, the situation isn't going to return to normal suddenly next month, but all of these grants are coming to an end next month. So we were very worried about what's going to happen after October, and that's the reason that we had this discussion in the webinar last week.
Indeed, because I think one of the biggest problems the country is facing in terms of COVID, and this was a pre-existing problem, but it's just been ratcheted up to a very unpleasant level, is just basic hunger, food security.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have such a high level of child malnutrition, of hunger and food insecurity. It's disproportionate for a country as wealthy as we are to be having more than one in four children stunted, which means that they're short for their age. It's just not acceptable, and it hasn't come down in 25 years. We've seen no improvement in child malnutrition rates in 25 years. So obviously, we have a right to food in the Constitution. We have a right to social security in the Constitution. And to some extent, the government tries to respond to those rights by providing social grants, for instance, but they're not adequate. And then when a crisis comes along like this, it makes the situation even worse. And unfortunately, it looks like the response have not been sufficient to protect everybody. And again, looking forward, we're worried about what happens after October when things are not going to go back to normal, but those grants are going to be removed.
Is government capable of carrying on with these relief measures or these grants? Or would you say it's a necessity? There is no other way.
There is no other way, that's for sure. But I think we have learned a couple of things. So one thing that we learned is it's easier to build on existing programs than to start a new program in the middle of a crisis. You know, so we have already got the child support grant, the old age grant or the older person's grant, the disability grant. Those grants are all there, and the government actually increased the payments to people who are receiving those grants. So we already have that top up, and that was quite easy to do because you already are registered, you're getting your benefits every month. Now you just have to get a higher amount, and there's no reason why the government couldn't continue with those higher amounts. Of course, they will say there are money issues, it's a financial question, but in terms of capabilities, it's quite easy just to extend those payments. What isn't so easy is to try and set up new programs like the special COVID-19 social relief of distress grant that 350 rand, and there were all kinds of problems of people trying to register and apply for that, and then there were processing delays and people were refused when they were entitled to actually get it. So that took a long time to get going, and many people still didn't get what they were entitled to get. So those programs are more difficult, but you know, there's no reason why we can't think about really focusing on this major issue, which is the 18 to 59 year olds that are unemployed or working in the informal sector, so they're not covered by UIF, they don't get any type of social protection if they're unemployed. And that grant, the 350 rand, it was small, but it made a difference to those guys. So why not try and increase it, or at least continue with it, and if possible, even increase it, so that those people are protected and get some kind of support going forward. Because, you know, we have a good social grant system, but it doesn't work for people in working age category. It only works for children, older people, caregivers, and foster children, and so on. It doesn't really apply to those that are in working age. But if you're unemployed, how are you going to survive? And that's what happened.
Exactly. I mean, you're referring to the 18 to 59-year old age category, certainly a huge problem. I mean, somebody has just sent a WhatsApp here. Hi, Shafiq. I was approved for the 350 grant in May. I only received one payment in June. I cannot get through to them. If you want to know, where's the other month's payment? So that seems to be quite symptomatic of what you've just described and what we deal with on a daily basis at the radio station.
That's very common. That story is very common, and it's very sad, and it shouldn't have happened. You know, if this person who wrote the WhatsApp applied and they were accepted and they were received the first payment, then it means that they're on the system, they're entitled to get the money. Why didn't they get the other months? You know, it's June to September is 3 or 4 months. Why haven't they got those payments in July and August and September? So obviously there's a problem here. Unfortunately, we know that there was a lot of diversion, you know, mismanagement and even corruption in some of these programs. We're hearing more and more about that now. So some of the money has definitely gone to the wrong people. But in principle, the idea of having these grants and of making them accessible online, etc., is very good. And there's no reason why we couldn't do it and continue doing it, as long as we can clean up the actual delivery so we don't have these problems of mismanagement and corruption.
Do you think the biggest headache in relieving the plight of South Africans who have a right to have a life of dignity is cleaning up our capacity? I think that's the best way of putting it, where you have incompetent, inefficient, and corrupt government officials, not at high levels where the decisions, where the good decisions are made, but at the lowest levels where most of the bad things occur.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that the problems are systemic and they run from the lowest level to the highest level. So there is a lot of cleaning up that needs to be done. And what I find surprising is that, you know, the president speaks a lot about tackling corruption and fighting corruption and set up the special investigation unit and so on. But that was done very late in the process. You know, that announcement was only made about a month ago that they were going to have this special investigation unit that would crack down on the corruption in the PPE tenders and the UIF scams and all of that. I'm wondering, why didn't he announce it at the beginning when he announced the 500 billion rand? Because you know that so much money, there's bound to be some issue. Somebody's going to put their eye on that money and think, can't I get some for myself? Why didn't you set up that SIU right at the beginning and make sure there was no corruption in any of those tender processes for the PPE tenders, for the, you know, the UIF delivery, these new grants? Why didn't you stop the corruption before it happened instead of trying to catch people after they've already stolen the money? Because in the meantime, people were going hungry, people were not getting their grants that they were entitled to, and that's what caused a lot of problems in the system, which sounded at first like a really good program trying to support people through this COVID-19 crisis.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are probably asking exactly the same question that you are. You know, the fact that why did the president not promise to crack down on corruption right at the beginning and fired a warning shot across the bows? And you're so
exactly
right. I wonder how many government officials were just licking their lips. Actually, vultures don't lick their lips, do they? But but looking like vultures, waiting for the opportunity.
Exactly. They should have stopped the corruption before it happened instead of trying to catch people after it happened, you know? And it's going to be very difficult for them to now get the money back. And most of those people that didn't get their grants will never get those grants. The worst of the crisis is over. People have had to survive somehow without those grants that they were entitled to. But, you know, I'd like to also be a bit positive. And I think looking
Please.
Forward, If I can just add one thing, Minister Zulu, the Department of Social Development Minister, she made an announcement in late July that the government was seriously thinking about some kind of basic income grant going forward, which would be permanent after the COVID-19 crisis is over. So there was a kind of a suggestion that maybe we're going to actually see this extension of the 350 Rand grant, and it might even become for everybody, you know, universal for everybody, which was a really radical idea and surprising to come from government. So, we were hopeful that something like that would happen, and now it looks like they've gone back on that. So it's not likely to happen, but we are still very hopeful that something can be done. And the Black Sash, for example, has just launched a petition to try and get the 350 Rand grant continued and, if possible, to be increase it. So if you're interested to support that campaign, it's on the Black Sash website. It's about trying to make sure that the government does something to help people going forward beyond October when the grants are ending. They shouldn't end. They have to continue.
Yeah, I don't know whether any of us, I'm certainly not qualified to answer this question. A pensioner wants to know if they are getting the same amount this month. I'm completely at sea on that particular question, I must admit.
Yeah, so the pensions were topped up. So the pension before lockdown was 1,800 and something, and then they added a couple of hundred rand, so it's just over 2,000, and that's going to continue until October. But for this month, definitely they would still get that higher rate. And then after October, it's planned that it will go back to the previous rates. So you would lose that top-up that you've been getting for the last 6 months. And this is exactly what the campaign is all about. People have needed this money to survive.
Absolutely.
And that's going to be stopped. Why not continue?
Indeed, interesting question. Stephen Devereaux, Research Chair, Social Protection for Food Security. Thanks for chatting to us. Stay safe.
Thank you very much.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.